God's goal is conforming us to Christ.
Dr. Tony Evans says that's why we sometimes experience difficult, hurtful circumstances.
He's saying it is to remind you of your humanity and you can do nothing without me. God is waiting for you to pass the test.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of the Urban Alternative. Are the tough times in your life going to take you apart or put you back together better than ever? You'll want to turn to James chapter 1, verse 5, as Dr. Evans explains why the difference is up to you.
Now there are three kinds of people who will hear this message today. Those who are in a trial. You, as you sit under the sound of my voice, are going through difficult trouble in life. A second group are those who are exiting a trial. You've broken free and finally you've gotten to breathe a sigh of relief. The third group are those who are about to enter into a trial. You just don't know it yet. So there is a word for everyone here, because it applies either you're in it, on your way out of it, or heading towards it. Trouble is unavoidable if you're alive, because it comes with the human dilemma. That is why you must pay close attention as we go through this, because while I am in no position to guarantee you when you leave here this morning, your trial will disappear, I will guarantee you, if you pick up what James is saying, you will leave here on top of your trials rather than your trials be on top of you. What should your response be to trials? Let me give you three things you should do if you're going through a trial or when you go through one. Here are the three things you should do with regard to trials. I'm telling you, this is the quickest way to get out, is to do these three things. Number one, verse 2, count it all joy. Instead of bickering, complaining, whining, crying, seeking revenge, getting back, because now you know that God is up to something, count it all joy. Now, don't misinterpret that. He does not mean to feel good about the pain of your problem. That's not what it means. He says, count, not feel. Not feel it all joy. Count it all joy. The Greek word count is an economic term, and it means to evaluate. It's an accounting term, because sometimes trials don't add up. And we know that because we ask the question, why? Right? Why am I going through this? Why? It doesn't add up. He says, well, let's use another adding machine. Evaluate your trials from the standpoint of joy. Now, what does that mean? That means say to yourself, self, God is up to something here. God, I do not know what you're up to, but you let this trial come into my life, so you are obviously up to something. So I'm going to praise your name, not for the trial, but for what you're up to. That's what it means to count it all joy. Because you know that God is up to something, your first response should be to count it all joy. Your outlook determines your outcome. Your attitude will determine your action. It is not about feeling, it's about counting. A decision of the will. When you're going through the trial, your emotions cannot dictate your actions, just like a truck on the highway shouldn't let the cargo dictate the ride. Whenever a cargo dictates the ride, what you have is a truck out of control and the back swinging back and forth. And a lot of us are like that. Our feelings swing back and forth and take the engine where the cargo wants it to go, rather than the engine taking the cargo of your feelings where they want to go. So you say, I feel bad, but Lord, I'm counting it joy because you're taking me some way. I hate what I'm going through, but I've made a decision of the will to count it as joy, because in this madness and in this mess, you are doing something. That's what it means to count it all joy instead of blame. It doesn't even say count it all happiness. Now, you remember the difference between happiness and joy. Happiness is circumstantially driven. I feel good because things are good. So I'm happy. Joy is not related to circumstance. Joy is related to decision. You count joy, you feel happy. So even though you don't feel happy, you can count joy. You can say, because of what you're going to do, which I don't have the slightest idea of what you're doing, that's why you're testing my faith, I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to hang in here until my change comes. I'm going to consider it all joy. Now why? Because if you don't, then Hebrews 12:15 becomes your experience. Let me read it to you. Back one page, Hebrews 12:15. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springs up causing trouble, that it may be defiled. Now what happens when you don't count it all joy? You lose the provision of grace. And grace is God's supply to take you through anything he gives you. He giveth more grace. So you nullify grace when you don't count it as joy. So if you're going through a trial, then you can make a decision, no matter how you feel, to say, I decide to be joyful about what God is doing. The Bible says in Hebrews 12:2, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. He wasn't happy about going to the cross. He said, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. What he was happy about was that a resurrection was coming and that he was going to be enthroned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was happy about Sunday morning, not about Friday night. He was happy about resurrection, not about crucifixion. He was happy about what God was going to do through the trial. And that is what he is calling us to do as well. That's not, you say, well, that's Jesus. I'm not Jesus. I'm a human being. Well, let's find out how a human being thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, some problem that was difficult to deal with. A messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times that he might depart from me. I said, Lord, get this away from me. Get me out of this trial. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Now look at this. Look at him counting it all joy. Most gladly. Therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses and insults, with distresses and persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Do you hear what he's saying? He's saying when trials come, you ought to be most glad, not for the pain of the thorn, but God, you get ready to do something. God, you get ready to show me something. You get ready to show yourself off. So in my weakness, I'm going to praise you, because in my weakness, I'm going to see your strength like I've never seen it before, and I won't get the glory. You will get the glory. So you are to count it all joy. Please notice one other thing. Count it all joy, not count it some joy. Okay? Not partial. Think of it as a mother in labor. Plenty of pain, but that's joyful pain. Pain hurts. Pain's difficult. Contractions are uncomfortable, but they count it all joy, not because they're in pain, but because they know that pain means something's coming down the canal that I've looked forward to. They don't know what it looks like. They may not know if it's a he or she, but it's something they've been looking for. Many things that you've been looking for in your life, God's going to give you, but through the pain of the birthing process. He's going to cause pain in order to birth out his perfect will for your life. And when you see what he does, the pain won't matter anymore, because it will have been worth it. Second thing you must do if you're going through a trial, I just read it, verse 5. Go to God and ask him for wisdom. Ask for help. What are you asking him? To get you out? Because perseverance doesn't mean it's necessarily time to get out. You're asking him, here's the key, for wisdom. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. What is wisdom? You're going through a trial, and yet you're supposed to count it joy. That's a paradox. That's a contradiction. How can I count joy what I'm going through? Make sense of this for me. Make sense of this for me. Doesn't mean it's going to take you out. It doesn't mean you're even going to know why you're going through it. But show me how I am to respond to get the most out of what you're doing right now. That's your prayer. Show me how to respond to get the most out of what you're doing for me right now. The Bible says in 2 Peter 2:9, God is bigger than your trials. Listen, 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that no temptation has overtaken you but such as is common to man. So anything that you face, you're not the only one that's ever faced it. You're not the only one that will face it. And that's why fellowship is so important, because you hook up with other people who have faced it and seen God bring them through so that you know there's hope for you too. That's why you can't be a lone ranger Christian. There is commonality. You haven't been singled out. God is not picking on you. Why is this happening to me? Well, this happened to a bunch of other people that God had to teach the same thing with that he's teaching you too. So it's common to all. But God will not give you more than you can bear. Chapter 10, verse 13 says in 1 Corinthians, there is bearability. God limits the load. One of the things I like when I go weightlifting is I don't go by myself. And as I begin to strain on number 12 or 13, or when I get up to 14 and making all them weird noises in the gym, straining and stressing, it becomes more than I can bear. And if I try to go up again, I may drop the weights and let them fall down on me. They could crack my sternum or crush my Adam's apple, because the weight is more than I can bear. But just in the nick of time, the gentleman who's standing over me reaches over me and says, "You keep pushing, but I got it. You're not pushing this last few up on your own." And then after I've gone up for the last one, he does a mercy thing for me. He lifts the weights totally out of my hands and put them on the rack. That's grace. That's what God does. When the weight of your trial is too heavy and you can't keep it up and your arms are trembling and you're making all kind of noises and you're going through difficulty, his grace steps in and picks it up and puts it on the rack. That's what God's grace will do in your trial. Ask him to show you what he wants you to get out of it. Pray for wisdom. But how do you pray? Listen closely. He says, God will give it to you freely. He just would love to tell you what he wants you to learn, but let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind, for let not that man think he will receive anything from the Lord. Okay? He talks about the double-minded person. This is the split personality Christian. This Christian is unstable and perplexed. See, faith says yes, unbelief says no, doubt says yes and no. This is a Christian who wants to go two ways at one time. They want to do it their way and still want God to do it his way. They want some of God and some of them. They want to see what God wants, but then they want to see what they want. They have a split personality, and God says, I'm not going to compromise what I'm going to do in your life. I got to have the whole thing, so give me the whole ball of wax. Turn it all over to me. God, you must show me what you're up to in my life. It's all in your hands. Give it all to me. If you're going to come to me, then bring it all to me. And you only do what I tell you to do, what you're supposed to do, what I reveal to you to do, but you bring it all to me and stop half-stepping with this stuff. Many times believers come for counseling talking about, pray for me. And after you pray for them and tell them what God wants them to do, they still go out and do what they want to do. God says, you will not receive anything from me, and that's why you're not getting any answer to prayers. That's not why you're getting any solutions. Did you know that that mate that you want to leave may be God's test in your life to take you to the next spiritual level, and you just think, I don't want to be married anymore? Did you know that? That may be God's purpose for you, and he will keep you miserable, and every other mate you find will be as messed up as the mate you left, because you never passed the test of what he was trying to teach you in the first place. See, because if God is against you, you can't find the right person.
When Dr. Evans comes back in a moment, he'll tell us about a time when he literally hit some rough seas in his own life. As we've been learning, sometimes the problems we encounter aren't just problems. They're spiritual issues that can't be resolved without supernatural help. To help you get it, we're featuring a great resource right now, a new edition of Tony's book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. In it, he explains why we need to turn to God for help winning the invisible spiritual battle going on around us, and spells out specific prayers for people fighting against substance abuse, sexual or emotional problems, relational issues, and more. This new luxury edition has a special cover that looks and feels like leather, so it's not just a resource, but a keepsake. And we want you to have a copy as our gift. Just visit TonyEvans.org before time runs out, make a contribution of any size, large or small, and we'll say thanks by sending it your way, with all 14 full-length lessons in Tony's current series, James, Time to Grow Up. Again, that's TonyEvans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where resource team members are standing by around the clock. I'll have that information for you again later on, after part two of today's lesson and this message.
Come on, get ready for the ride of your life.
Explore the kingdom anytime, anywhere, through the growing list of online courses waiting for you now in the Tony Evans Training Center.
Discover.
Dig deep into the Word on your own schedule and at your own pace as you explore key concepts of the faith. You'll get exclusive insights from Dr. Evans, study aids and resources, fascinating background information, and real-world answers to your questions through our online forum.
This is the Great Adventure.
Start learning today with our new course on the Book of James, the Tony Evans Training Center, a world of discovery anywhere, anytime.
Years ago, we were on a cruise to Alaska, a ministry cruise. Many of our radio listeners were with us. And there was a storm. Not any old storm. This was the biggest storm that this ship, is a huge ocean liner, had ever been in. The waves were 35 feet high, 35-foot squalls, okay? The ship was tossing and turning. Food was flying off of the table. The stewards were crouching in a corner. Everything was falling apart. My wife got ticked off. She said, why in the world, with all this high-tech equipment, with this man knowing we were going to run into a storm, would he leave where we were to get back here when he knew it? I am going to give him a piece of my Christian mind. She was upset. How dare him? But the captain had to get back because there were other passengers waiting on that day we arrived to come back. She said, I tried to explain that. She said, I don't want to hear about no other passengers. I'm the passenger right now on this boat. All right? My wife picked up the telephone and said, I want to speak to the captain. She was going to call the captain to find out what in the world is going on? Because it was a really bad storm. The lady said, I can't get you to the captain. But she sent back a message from the captain. And this was the message that he sent back to my wife, who was concerned about this really dangerous scenario or trial we appeared to be in. He said two things. Number one, lady, lay down in bed. Go to sleep because I'm going to stay up. And I will be at the helm while you sleep. No need for both of us to stay up. You sleep and let me stay up. Number two, lady, this ship was built with these kind of storms in mind. This ship, lady, is seaworthy. You go to bed. So we got undressed and we got into bed and fell asleep, and lo and behold, when morning came, the sea was calm. There was no more storm. If you're going through the billows of life and they're knocking you around, God is saying, you lay down, I'll stay up. And he's also saying, this trial was built with this trial in mind. This ship can handle the storm that you're in. It can handle what you're going through. That's what God is saying. So call the captain and let him tell you that all is well, no matter how things look. Pray. And then he says, praise. But let the brother of humble circumstance glory in his high position. And let the rich man glory in his humiliation, because like flowering grass he will pass away. For the sun rises, and it's a scorching wind, and withers the grass, and flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man, in the midst of his pursuits, will fade away. Very quickly, he says, give glory to God in the midst of your trial. He gives two trials. A poor man that doesn't have money, got some of them here. And the rich man who's running to something money can't get him out of, we got some of them here. Poor people who don't have money, he says, glory in your position in Christ. Rich people, you get sick and money can't buy that cancer out of you. Money can't buy that wayward child back home. Money can't buy that. He says, glory in your humiliation. If you run out of money, give glory to God. Lord, right now I've run out of money, but I want to thank you. I have my health. I want to thank you that you've taken care of me. I want to thank you that you've supplied my needs. I want to thank you there's food on my table. I want to thank you there's clothes on my back. In my poverty, I want to praise you. And then if you have a little money, but you got something money can't buy, Lord, I want to glorify you. I want to glorify you that money can't buy me out of this, so that I won't pull out MasterCard, Visa, or American Express. I'm going to run to Jesus Christ and ask him to do it. In other words, whether you're poor or rich, when life crashes in, give glory to God, because God allows trials to force us back to him. Because when you get money, then you pay cash. You don't pray. That's what he's saying. He's saying it is to remind you of your humanity, and you can do nothing without me. In other words, trials come and make you say uncle. Remember they put you in the lot when you were growing up? Say uncle. And they kept pulling you till you said uncle. God is saying, I'm going to nail you till you say glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. He closes with this verse, verse 12. Blessed, oh, this is a good verse, is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. This is the reward of trials. He says the reward of trials, victory. When the trial has been finished and the lesson has been learned, then approval will be given. Passed. And when you pass, you can graduate. When you graduate, what? You go across the stage, you get a diploma, and there's a cap on your head. He calls the cap in verse 12 the crown of life. God puts a cap, a graduation cap. He passed elementary school. He graduates to junior high. Yeah, more tests. He passed junior high. He graduates to high. Yeah, but more tests. He graduates from high. He goes to college. More tests. He graduates from college. He goes to the workplace. More tests. But he will graduate you from that trial. It took Abraham 25 years to graduate to become the father of all nations when he offered up Isaac. It took Moses 85 years to graduate to lead the children of Israel. I don't know how long it's going to take you. You have a lot to say about that, by how you take the test. I do know this. When you graduate, he will say pass, and your fondest dreams will come true, your greatest desires. Some of you single ladies are looking for a husband. God is waiting for you to pass the test. When you pass, then he's going to show up. Long as you fussing and fighting and complaining, you'll be alone. Many of you want a career move. God is saying, I'm going to keep letting them skip you till you pass my test. Then I'll let you pass their test. God will continue to do it until you pass the test.
Dr. Tony Evans, talking about the upside of the downturns we face in life. Part of his current series, James, Time to Grow Up. This two-volume, 14-lesson collection offers practical, clear directions for making wise, God-honoring decisions when things get confusing. And as I mentioned earlier, it's yours as our thank you gift when you support Tony's ministry with a contribution of any size, along with the luxury edition of Tony's book, Prayers for Victory in Spiritual Warfare. This special double offer won't be around for long, and we don't want you to miss out. So visit TonyEvans.org to make the arrangements today, or get some in-person help from our resource team by calling 1-800-800-3222, day or night. That's 1-800-800-3222. There's more to being religious than doing religious things. Tomorrow, Dr. Evans digs into the difference and talks about the true motivation for good works as he continues our look at the book of James. I hope you'll be with us. The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans is brought to you by The Urban Alternative and is made possible by the generous contributions of listeners like you.